balance in your personal life and service responsibilities. I am your moderator. My name is Thomas. I am a past delegate panel 69 from Area 05, Southern California. Our reader this evening is Duncan L. from Northern California Coastal, Area 6.
Hi, everybody. My name's Duncan, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm the DCMC for District 11 in 06, Napa County. Okay. Service, like love, is not a matter of convenience. I have found for myself that it doesn't matter what commitment I take, whether it be coffee or secretary or GSR, there are going to be days when I don't want to show up. That said, being the kind of alcoholic I am, I always want to feel better. I've been told that service will make me feel better. So I've jumped to the other extreme, thinking that I could, quote unquote, fix myself through doing service. What have I found that, what I have found is that service work can become my higher power if I'm not careful. Service does not keep me sober, but it is an action that I take that helps me grow closer to my higher power. Doing AA service eases the void in my void in me created by alcoholism. It is through service and the discipline of service that I learn tolerance, patience, kindliness, and love. I recently gave up a service commitment after prayer and talking with my sponsor. I realized that as much as I loved doing this particular service position at a meeting, I was not keeping with the spirit of rotation. I realized that this was selfish of me. For me to keep a service position after it was up, regardless that the group wanted me to do it again, was denying someone else the opportunity to participate and the feeling of belonging in Alcoholics Anonymous. Service is a transformative process. I look back at my understanding of the program when I started my current service positions, and I'm amazed at how my perspective has changed. What does matter is that when I take a position, I honestly try to fulfill that commitment. In service, we learn how to let go of perfectionism and realize that our best is truly good enough. Sometimes in service, we humbly admit that we have indeed taken more on than we can honestly do. At other times in service, we learn that there are reservoirs of strength that we were previously unaware of, resources that would have gone undiscovered if not for the catalyst of service work to bring to light. That's from The Grapevine, May 2009, from an article called Addicted to Service? ? Thank you, guys.
Our presenters for this panel three, in this order, is Patty S. from Area 03, Claudia N. from Area 06, Thad N. from Area 18, and Lyle C. from Area 42. Now, our timer for this panel is Heather N. from Area 18, Idaho.
Good evening, my name is Heather, and I am an alcoholic. For this session, each of the presenters will give an 8-minute presentation. The green light comes on immediately after the presenter introduces himself. The yellow caution light comes on after 7 minutes, and the red light ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank the speaker with warm applause. Sharing from the floor microphones will be timed at 2 minutes. The yellow light comes on at 90 seconds, the red light at 2 minutes, followed by a loving applause. If the speaker is being interrupted, the time allowed will be doubled to 4 minutes, and the yellow light coming on at 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. So, our first presenter is Patty, which gives you all a second chance to applaud her.
Thank you.
My name is Patty Schott. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 23, 1984. My home group is the Smoke Busters Group in El Mirage, Arizona. And I'm currently serving as the DCM for Arizona Area 03, Maricopa County Subdistrict 08800. And they gave me a topic called Overwhelming Workloads Presentation. So I'm kind of the poster child. So I have a home group. I have a recovery sponsor and a service sponsor, and I sponsor other ladies. And that information is important as it gives me a built-in barometer or network for keeping me on track with overwhelming workloads. If I am not making my normal home group meetings, or if I have to cancel meetings with my sponsors or sponsees, my network of fellow alcoholics will keep checking in on me. That is so very important, as my sobriety must come first before any commitment I make, either in or out of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is so easy to get into situations with overwhelming workloads. We are told when we get sober to never say no to an AA request. If I am also participating in life outside of Alcoholics Anonymous with a career or with my spouse, suddenly my schedule gets really full. Add in an unexpected illness to care for, or someone else's or your own, and suddenly everything becomes overwhelming. I had that happen while I was working full-time and caring for my husband who had dementia. Suddenly, most of my AA commitments had to take a back seat or be canceled to be able to handle the responsibilities that were in front of me. I learned some good tools and skills as a result to gauge whether I can and should take on new responsibilities without getting overloaded. When I'm taking on new service roles, anything from general service, sponsorship, or even making coffee, it is important to know if I am taking care of myself physically, mentally, and spiritually. The physical needs to be a caregiver can be debilitating, and I ended up needing several surgeries to get back to normal after wearing out myself out after caring for my husband. And the loss through illness or death can cause a lot of emotional upheaval and grief that takes time to recover. Sometimes the best and only service work that I am able to do is to occupy a chair in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous to make sure that the doors are open for the newcomers. And if that's all I'm able to do, that is enough. I need to consider where I am in my steps and traditions. Where am I spiritually? Am I daily turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him in step three? Am I remembering tradition two, that there is one ultimate authority and that I am a trusted servant that does not govern? If my character defects of perfectionism, judgmentalism, self-centered egoism pop up, I need to address them quickly with step six to be entirely ready, and step seven to remember humility and who is really in charge. When I am trying to control every minute detail of a committee or an event, my workload gets overwhelming really quickly. I need to remember that I can delegate some tasks and responsibilities to other members of a team or committee. I have learned to let go of control of every detail. This is where let go and let God really comes in handy. When I was new, I was told to stay green to grow in the program. I always want to be a student, open and willing to learn new things. When I am fighting to keep things as they always were, I make things harder on myself and everyone around me. If I am sitting in a business meeting, judging and saying to myself that everyone else is doing it wrong, I am probably not healthy or humble enough to be able to be in whatever role I am at that point. There is no mistake that I can make that will hurt Alcoholics Anonymous. I am not that important. I also need to remember that the highest rank I can achieve in AA is sober. I need to remember that I am not perfect, and I don't have to be. It's okay to ask for help. There are so many resources in AA to help me when I don't know what I don't know. People in roles up and down our service structure are available and willing to help with guidance and support. Our AA service manual describes roles and functions along with our guiding principles of the 12 traditions and 12 concepts for how we work together in the world. When I was a brand new GSR, I felt like a deer in headlights. I showed up at pre-conference assembly completely lost about what to do. The DCM of my district introduced herself, and she had me join her and other members of the district for the weekend-long event. By the time I left, I knew who to call when I had questions and what I needed to do to start my GSR journey. When I am going to more service-related business meetings than regular AA meetings, maybe it is time to rethink my priorities about my recovery program. General service assemblies, intergroup meetings, convention, and workshop planning sessions are all important functions that work to help carry the message of recovery to all AA members, old and new. I need to remember that by taking on multiple commitments, I may be keeping someone else from experiencing service work at this level. And by minimizing my regular AA meetings in favor of service commitments, I may put myself at risk of losing my emotional sobriety, if not my physical sobriety. There are several practices that I have learned to do while considering taking on a new service commitment. These have helped me with managing the workload of my service responsibilities. I try to research the role. Do I know the requirements for the position? For general service roles, the AA service manual is an excellent source for that information. What skills do I need to have or to learn to do a good job? What time commitments are required, such as meetings, travel, and presentations? Is the previous person who had the position available for possible training and guidance? If so, I reach out for networking and mentoring opportunities. When possible, I shadow the person at events to see what and how things are done. This allows me to get my expectations about what I might be getting into aligned from the beginning. When I find myself in the situation of overwhelming workloads, I need to step back and evaluate what's going on. In my excitement and enthusiasm for sobriety and service, have I volunteered for too many commitments? Have I taken on more sponsees than I realistically have the time to be able to give them? While we do evolve to handle workloads, just like we learn new service positions just about the time we rotate out, we don't have to take on every commitment that comes along. I have to remember that I am not all things to all people. It is okay to say no when asked to serve. It is okay to resign if necessary when life changes happen that will prevent me from completing the role. It is okay to not volunteer to sponsor every newcomer that comes through the door. Most important, I need to remember Rule 62. Don't take myself so seriously. When I do that, it puts humor, humility, and grace into whatever situation is creating the overwhelming workloads. That also brings me back to who is ultimately in charge of my sobriety and my life, God, as I understand him. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty. Our second presenter is Claudia.
Oh my goodness, what is my name? My name is Claudia, I'm an alcoholic, nervous, and I currently serve Area 6 as the alternate delegate and the Area PICPC chair. My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989, and my home group is Sunday Night Madness in Santa Rosa, California at 7 p.m. If you're in the area, please join us. I have a recovery sponsor and a service sponsor and a commitment in my home group. Thank you for the topic of excessive time commitments. Really? My initial response was, I don't have enough time for this. And after I took a breath, paused, and asked for the right thought or action, gratitude replaced fear, and here we are. Okay. The first thing I did, besides call my service sponsor, was look up excessive in the Webster Dictionary. So you're gonna. More than is necessary, normal, or desirable, going beyond the usual or proper limit. For example, this was in the dictionary. He was drinking excessive amounts of brandy. Seriously? Okay, that fits, right? I think I know what excessive means now. But isn't it really in the eye of the beholder? What is excessive to one person may be a drop in the bucket to another. How many of you, when you shared what your schedule looked like to another person, especially someone not in general service, got the reaction of, whoa, isn't that a bit excessive, right? Where do you find the time? And isn't that the real question? Finding the time to balance out my service commitments with my work schedule and my personal life, including my own recovery and self-care. When we consider the shape of our triangle of unity, recovery, and service, do we also keep in mind the shape of our personal triangle of mind, body, and spirit? How do we create space to welcome that balance? How does prayer and meditation play a part in that space? Am I remembering to exercise my mind and my body? What about my spiritual practice? How does that show up in my life? When my triangles are off kilter and I start feeling stressed or out of balance and overwhelmed, I know it's time to get back to basics. I can always tell if I'm in burnout mode by checking my spiritual condition. Is everyone on the road in my way? Is that guy gonna talk again at my home group? You should really be doing it my way. If my arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as I wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including myself, would be pleased. And life would be wonderful. When I find I'm trying to control everyone and everything and my happiness depends strictly on that, then it is time, as Bill says, to fetch myself up sharply. Before I got sober, I was so selfish and didn't want to give up a lot of my time to take care of my responsibilities to my family or anything that didn't serve me, as it was too much work. What about me? And if you had five kids, you know what I mean? At my darkest moment, I literally put my child down in the doorway and walked away. That single moment was the catalyst that brought me to a place of complete surrender. You all taught me through your example that I too could be a service, not just to Alcoholics Anonymous, but to my family as well. Part of my amends to my children is giving them back the time I gave away so freely to alcohol. As I started this new journey, it became very clear the greatest gift we have been given is the time to live this new way of life. So how was I going to repay this huge debt of gratitude? I was always taught gratitude is an action. An action for this alcoholic presents in service. I was raised in Area 6, woo, and was taught to always say yes and get in the car, Patty, wherever you are. That process of saying yes started in the kitchen 18 years ago, when our assembly chair needed a lunch chair for our post-conference assembly. And I lost my place, there we are. Not knowing what to expect as I was a newbie to general service, I thought, why not? How much work could it be? While it was time-consuming and quite a bit of work, it was the first time I understood the spiritual payoff of a job well done and the joy of service, and that hooked me. Well, that was the beginning of my journey in general service in Alcoholics Anonymous, where my time became a commodity that I gladly traded for peace, serenity, and purpose. Let's face it, general service does take a lot of time. I'm grateful to my service sponsor who helped me find ways to bring balance to my busy schedule. She suggested, and sometimes I took them and sometimes I didn't, that in my calendar I block out times that would be just for me and not yet add another commitment, which is a challenge for this service junkie. Preaching to the choir, I think. Yeah. When I have a busy weekend of service commitments, to give myself a cushion the day after. Another option is I can turn down commitments. Right? That are too much to add to my already packed schedule. While I was taught to say yes, I was also taught to be responsible, to be mindful about doing too much. Another way that responsibility can show up is to delegate to others and ask for help. This is a WE program, and there's something magical that happens when we come together and share our service and ask for help. During one of our inter-district workshops I attended recently, I heard this quote, "A single twig can break, but the bundle of twigs is stronger." To delegate is powerful and not a sign of weakness. One of the inventory questions posed to the fellowship fits well for this topic. Are we asking too much of our trusted servants, particularly their time? I will add to that, are there service positions that should have an alternate in their position? Is it time to reevaluate our expectations of our trusted servants? As I review the inventory questions for the conference, I'll be asking myself these questions and add them to my own personal service inventory. What I do know is I am the woman I am today because Alcoholics Anonymous gave me a reason to live, a reason to believe that I too could make a difference in someone else's life through work and self-sacrifice, that I would be giving up my time and spending my energy in ways that were ever more profitable than chasing the next drink, that I too could come to know peace and serenity as never before. In AA Comes of Age, on the third legacy, Bill writes, AA's 12-step carrying the message is the basic service that our fellowship gives. It is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. AA is more than a set of principles. It's a society of recovered alcoholics in action. We must carry AA's message, otherwise we ourselves may fall into decay, and those who have not yet been given the truth may die. This is why we so often say that action is the magic word. Action to carry AA's message is therefore the heart of Third Legacy of Service. Thank you for giving me the time to share about this wonderful, bumpy ride of service in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you. And now our third presenter, Thad from Area 18, will present on making service work more attractive.
Good evening, my name is Thad, and I'm a happy alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 9th, 2004. I had the honor and privilege to serve Idaho Area 18 as their panel 70 delegate. I would first like to thank Tandy and Laura from the PROSA Program Committee for giving me the opportunity to serve. The specific topic I've been asked to present on is making service work attractive. So self-centered alcoholic that I am, I'm changing the topic. Making service attractive. We're actually going to be talking about two slightly different but similar things. Service, the third side of our triangle, and general service activities related to extending the hand of AA. From Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, page 70, Dr. Bob cited another point of identification with Bill, the association of both with the Oxford group. Bill in New York for 5 months, and I in Akron for 2.5 years. But there was a significant difference. Bill had acquired the idea of service. I had not. This idea, which Bill brought and Dr. Bob never forgot, was put into action immediately. The best thing I can do with this topic is share my own experience, strength, and hope around the concept of service, how I have tried to put it into practice, and what the results have been from meh to profound, to miraculous. We have three sides of our triangle: unity, recovery, and service. And for me, each came with an aha or light bulb moment. When I first came in the rooms, the first light bulb moment that I experienced almost immediately was one of unity. I was not alone in the universe. You people were comfortable in your own skins, and you seemed to have a solution. The second light bulb moment on the recovery side of our triangle took a bit longer. Working the steps with a sponsor, taking inventory, and cleaning up some of the wreckage of my past led me to some of that freedom from the bondage of self. Was a process that took weeks, if not months. The third light bulb moment regarding the service side of our triangle took months, if not years, and probably still continues. When I was 21 and newly sober, my first sponsor, Dave H., who knew a selfish, self-centered mad thinker when he saw one, kept things very simple. Simple like insert tab A into slot B kind of simple. He talked about the idea that if I let my feet do the work, my head would follow. And if I suffered from low self-esteem, the simple solution was to go out and do esteemable things. Strangely enough, I was skeptical at first. But did have some of that willingness born of desperation so that I was willing to do some footwork, even if I thought it was stupid. My experience with service started without me even knowing it. My sponsor started me out very small. I was a smoker at the time, so he suggested that I pick up 10 cigarette butts a day, saying that at the very least, I could look in the mirror at the end of the day and know that I had left the world slightly better. 10 cigarette butts, actually. Than the way I'd found it that morning. He didn't talk about it at the time, but I realized much later that this was the tiniest beginnings of humility and enlarging my spiritual life. A lot of the service activities I was involved with early on were at the group level, such as making coffee, stacking chairs, and just being helpful to the people around me. At the time, this served to give me temporary relief from the noise in my own head. Later on, I noticed that taking action along these lines made me feel better. The idea of adding to the mainstream of life had a great appeal. I dabbled with other things like taking a meeting into a teen psych ward, helping a local Alano club with bookkeeping. I even served as an alternate general service representative. After 3 years of sobriety, I joined the Navy, and my service activities in Alcoholics Anonymous dropped off dramatically. And for the better part of 6 years, I did not do much more than go to meetings and occasionally worked with a sponsor when I wasn't at sea. I managed to stay sober for my entire Navy career, but when I got out, I went to meetings, but I didn't really get fully engaged with AA in my recovery. I drifted away, and at 12 years of sobriety, of so-called sobriety, I found it necessary to do some additional research. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. This passage out of the Big Book turned out to be quite prophetic. 6.5 years later, I managed to crawl back into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was starkly confronted with the question, what are the lessons learned? The lessons I learned were I hadn't been going to regular meetings regularly, wasn't working with a sponsor, and wasn't being of service. I got busy doing all of it. There were some pitfalls along the way, mostly resulting from my selfish, grandiose, and emotionally sensitive nature. Fear, warping my perception. A 2-year commitment, well, I'm too busy for that. Cleaning ashtrays or coffee pots is beneath me. This sounds like work, and I didn't want to do it. These and other rather self-centered thoughts were not particularly helpful. Later, uncomfortable questions would crop up in my so-called brain, ones that were not set, there were no set answers, like, how much is my sobriety worth? And how is this manifesting in my life? If the spiritual life is not a theory and we have to live it, what does that look like? In other words, where are my feet? With awareness came responsibility, and for me, the action component being to be of service. My wife likes to say that general service is where the happy people are. She is absolutely right. This was the beginning of my rocket ride in general service. I went to district committee member, to area chair. The closest thing I've experienced to experience was when I was driving home from my first full body assembly, when it occurred to me that I'd not thought about myself in a good 2 or 3 days. Along with the third to the last line from the St. Francis prayer in the 12 and 12, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds. Blew the top of my head off, and it still does. I went from area chair to alternate delegate, to area secretary, to panel 70 delegate for Idaho Area 18. During my rotation as delegate, I created a little controversy in the Pacific region. By reconnecting with a dear friend, dating, becoming engaged, and finally marrying the alternate delegate from Western Washington. We had met years previously at a Pacific Northwest conference in Pendleton, Oregon. After my rotation as area delegate, I served the rotation as area finance committee chair, and as this rotation, I found myself chairing a second ad hoc committee, chair of our Idaho Area 18 2025 Fall Assembly, and the 2028 PRASA program chair. Over my general service experience, I've come up with a couple of guides to progress for myself and the people I sponsor and service sponsor. 1, don't panic. 2, show up and be willing. 3, you're not alone. 4, Have fun with this. 5, whatever you do, serve with enthusiasm. And with that, I'll stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thad. Our last presenter, number 4, last but not least, is Lyle from Area 42.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lyle C., alcoholic. Hi, everybody. My sobriety date is March 1, 1988. And I'm serving Nevada Area 42 as Panel 75 delegate. My home group is the Chester Fellowship in Chester, California. I've been asked to serve on as a member of the Conference Committee on Trustees and to serve a secondary committee. The Conference Committee on International Conventions and Regional Forums, thank you, Prosecutor Committee, I appreciate it. And my topic is Rewards of Service Work. Let me begin with a quote from Bill W. An AA service is anything whatever that helps us reach a fellow sufferer, ranging all the way from the 12-step itself to a 10-cent cup of coffee or phone call. AA's General Service Office and national and international action, the sum total of all these services is our third legacy of service, whether performed by individuals or groups or areas or AA as a whole. These activities are vital to our existence and growth, nor can we make AA more simple by abolishing such services. To do so would only be asking for complication and confusion. Bill's words remind me how vital every act of service is to our fellowship's existence and growth, whether through individual efforts, groups, committees, or service to AA as a whole. Each contribution matters, and I'm deeply grateful to be a part of that. One important lesson for me is to remember to regularly check my shape of my triangle, recovery, unity, and service. I first heard this from Joel C., past trustee, Pacific trustee at large. recovery forms the base of, and the unity and service as the sides. My goal is balance. Am I nurturing my recovery and supporting my unity by engaging in equal service equally? I've learned that sometimes in the simplest of acts, like making coffee and talking to a newcomer, I'm living all three sides of this triangle at once. My path to sobriety was not a straight line. I drank my way from New Orleans to San Francisco, eventually living in a residency hotel. Despite working as an iron worker, I could not hold on to enough money for an apartment, perhaps because I cashed my check at a bar every Friday night. When I got sober, my sponsor suggested I open a bank account. I felt, well, you know, such a simple suggestion, yet to me it was profound. I thought, these people think of everything. I found sobriety in San Francisco, a city rich with meetings and about 400 meetings a week. My home group met on Sunday nights for 2 hours. We also volunteered for a 4-hour shift for teleservice, answering calls and going out on 12-step calls in pairs. My first commitment came early. Just 3 weeks sober, I became a coffee maker. When Dan, the new secretary, handed me the key to church, I felt terrified but honored. This commitment was for 6 months, but I thought he said 6 weeks. And when I told Dan, you know, I wasn't married that long the first time, he just smiled and looked at me and said, well, can you make it next Saturday? And I went, and that's how service, trust, taught me responsibility. I may not have made great coffee, I didn't, but I showed up, and in doing so, I found connection by standing by the coffee pot, greeting people, and listening to their stories. I began to feel a part of something greater than myself. Service through hospitals and institutions became a passion of mine, and I was inspired by a member of my home group. I started taking meetings into San Francisco General Booking, 850 Bryan Street, a place where I had stayed myself. The fifth floor housed felony offenders, and I had met a man serving 5 years for vehicular manslaughter. He reminded me of myself. His story could have been mine. Those visits taught me humility and gratitude. Later, I had the privilege of serving for 2 years at San Quentin. Walking in, I felt the gravity of where I was, and in walking out, I felt profound gratitude for my freedom. I witnessed firsthand how deeply men inside those walls embraced the AA program. Their dedication reminded me never to take my sobriety for granted. Through H&I, I learned that service was not about me helping others. It was about others helping me grow in humility, patience, and understanding. When I moved to Chester, California, the meetings were small, just 6 to 10 people, sometimes only 2 during the winter. Despite the size, the fellowship was strong. Our district had once hosted a beloved camp out, but when it stopped, I felt its absence. I discovered the camp out had been a district event, and I wanted to see it return. I would need to get involved. I became a reluctant GSR. Reluctant because I held judgment I hadn't fully examined. I loved working with newcomers and carrying the message and going inside the jails and institutions, but district work meetings felt different, too much structure, I thought. But as they say, contempt prior to investigation closes many doors. When the DCM stepped down, I was asked to step up. I resisted. I don't like that kind of service, I said. An old timer gently put his arm around me and said, "Well, Lyle, that's how we grow." And I knew he had me, And I accepted, but I asked him to be my service sponsor, teach him. But with the district's help, we brought the camp out back. Witnessing the joy, unity, and fellowship it brought was deeply rewarding. It reminded me that service, even the kind we don't like, connects us to the heart of AA. My world grew even larger when my GSR and I attended the Northern Area General Service Committee meeting in Reno. The warmth of the welcome overwhelmed me. I had never met someone from Chester before, someone said, making me feel seen and valued. There we participated in roundtable discussions with the GSRs and the DCMs and the members from all walks of life. I listened, I learned, I felt a part of something bigger than my home group, my district, even my state. I came for the camp out, but stayed for the fellowship. Today I serve not because I have to, but because I get to. Every commitment from making coffee to H&I to district services now delegate has been a gift that has enriched my recovery and deepened my humility. I'm forever grateful to be a part of the fellowship and to carry the message. One meeting, one cup of coffee, and one newcomer at a time. Thank you.
Thank you, and let's give all 4 of our presenters another round of applause. The floor is now open for sharing on the presentations. There are 3 microphones on the floor. Please line up and you will be selected one at a time. I would like to remind everyone of the 2-minute limit and 4-minute limit for those requiring interpretations. The clock starts after you introduce yourself. Please do not come to the microphone for a second time until everyone has had a chance to share a first time. Please keep your comments on the topic of this panel. And as a reminder, the overall topic of this panel is finding balance in your personal life and service responsibilities. Led by Patty S., overwhelming workloads. Claudia N., excessive time commitments. Thad N., making service attractive. Lyle C., rewards of service work. We will start here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Angie. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Angie.
I am a new DCM for District 7 in Redding, California, which is in Area 11, Northern California Interior. Yeah, that's it.
I think that's Area 7, isn't it?
Area, did seven. I do it backwards?
Seven.
Well, you know, that's what I do.
No worries.
So I am grateful to be here. I had some funding from our meetings in my district to help me get to PRASA this year. And this is my first PRASA. I'm here with my service sponsor, and she told me I had to get up here and talk. thank you very much for the subjects. I really, really appreciate it. It reminded me that everything I've ever done in my life has been in excess, and I've only learned through Alcoholics Anonymous to find a little bit of balance in each thing in my life, and that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie. I'm sure Area 7 is very proud of you. Here.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
I am the appointed chair for Bridging the Gap for Area 7. We are proud of you. I was really struck by what Lyle just spoke about, starting off, you know, with 3 weeks sober, a coffee commitment, and now you're a delegate. And it just makes me think of who in this room are our future delegates, right? Like, you know, it's just so cool that we can start out in just, I mean, I didn't think I was gonna be here for as long as I've been here. And I think I have been because of service. So those rewards of service is that I've been sober for over 12 and a half years. I got sober when I was 22. And I have been in service the entire time. Service keeps me here, and my life is so big and wonderful today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I mean, if this is your first PRASA, if you're a new GSR, I mean, you could be a delegate one day. It's just really cool. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude, so I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah. Good evening, folks. My name is Richard. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Richard.
Area 8, San Diego - Imperial. I think I'm their secretary at the area level, but that's my new point. You know, as I was listening, I flashed back to a few days ago. I spent many an hour at bar stools, you know, just having drinks. I had a wife at home. I had two kids at home. Not once did I think about I'm spending too much time away from them. When I was at home cutting the grass with a couple of beers, again, I'm doing what I have to do. I'm not spending time away from them. Flash forward a few days, like to today, being on an airplane, taking a 10-hour flight from San Diego, time, energy, money, taking days off of work. And I'm like, hey, it's kind of, I'm doing the same thing. I'm avoiding what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's for a totally different reason. It's so that I can create relationships, healthy, safe relationships, not with the bottle, not with the people that I met at those bars. And what I am learning, what I have learned, and I will continue to learn, especially from those people around me, is that those relationships that I'm building, I need to watch out how I say things. Yes, I'm busy. But I don't have to be a jerk. I don't have to be a jerk about it and say I'm going to Alaska. I'll see you on Monday, everybody, because that's what I used to do. I'm going drinking. I'll see you when I come back, whether it be out of jail, whether it be from a lag from going somewhere else to Las Vegas, and I'll see you in a few days. You know, people who are coming up, it is hard sometimes to do the things that we do. Being in service is not very easy, but just by talking to some people here, listening to the people at the round tables, catching up on people I haven't seen since the last PRASA. It just reminds me that I am in a much better, healthier, safer place, especially because they remind me to get in touch with my higher power. So thanks a lot, everybody.
Yes, my name's Curtis, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
I'm from Area 7, District 22. in wonderful El Dorado County. You know what? I was working with a sponsee the other day, and we were doing a step four, and, you know, it says in the big book at one point, it says, you know, we have resentments against people, institutions, and principles. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of inventories, and I've taken a lot of sponsees, but all of a sudden I saw that that principles, and I went, I got a resentment against service. There's a principle. It's supposed to guide me. It's that 12th step, and it's supposed to, you know, carry me up and buoy me. But, you know, just like anything else in this program, there's a point where we have to do pretty good inventories, and I recognize I had a resentment against service. I had volunteered for too much. I was too saturated. I do sponsees. I'm the treasurer for Intergroup. I'm the alt DCM for our District 22. I do Rescue Volunteer Fire Association. I'm the secretary for that organization. I joined the El Dorado County Civil Grand Jury for a year so that we could write voluminous reports on government malfeasance. It was like, but I do service like I drank. It's like I'm a huge consumer. I'm a shark moving through the waters of life. And I recognize, you know, part of that is how do we transform our natures into a healthier aspect? And for me, yes, I need those spaces, but by inventorying it and putting it down on paper and talking with my sponsor about it, I kind of got rebalanced about it. And I appreciate all your shares on that whole thing. It is about trying to find balance, but at the same time, not giving up. Curtis Alcoholic.
Thank you. It is a real pleasure for me to be able to call on a very dear friend, Debbie.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Debbie Davis, alcoholic. Hey, I am here as an AA member from Area 06, and I want to address the making service or service work attractive and the item mentioned on enthusiasm, because I think I'm 49 years sober last month, and I was 2.5 years sober when I was introduced to general service, and I've been in and around it ever since. It's been always attractive to me. I'm a little on the nerd side. I know I love it. But we people as GSRs, you have the greatest opportunity to create the attraction by your reports and your enthusiasm. You're going to bring in the next GSR from your group. But also, as in our leadership, are we making those meetings attractive? I get so many people telling me, it's just a bunch of politics, and they're yelling and screaming over number 2 pencils or number 9 pencils. And I know, if we're getting down to this petty stuff, let's keep in mind what our purpose is. And let's get rid of the gossipy and the petty and the finger-pointing and the stone-throwing. And let's make this attractive. Every one of us can participate in that. And so that's my flag to fly tonight. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you. To my far left.
Hello. Hi, Thomas. I'm Erin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Erin.
Hi. I'm a GSR for Spiritual Awakening, a group out of Kyiv, Ukraine. And it's very exciting to be here today and balance. Oh, thank you. We're meeting tonight at 11 p.m., so if you want the information, come see me. But yes, balancing service and life is a challenge. It's absolutely a challenge. But what's so beautiful about what I've learned is to put myself in a position to be of maximum service. That's what I was taught, to always be of maximum service. And so life, and practice these principles in all my affairs. So everything I do, I try to apply the principles. I try to apply service to everything that I do. I do it in my work. I do it in my daily life. I do it to be of service at my home. And in AA as well. AA always comes first. And if I have time to breathe, I have time to do AA. So... And I do balance a lot, but I found that the 11th step is real. When I can do my 10th step and I can be in step 11, then it's surprising how much energy I have to be able to be of service when I can show up and still be here anyway. And for that, I am grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Valerie. I'm from Area 7, and I'm the alternate archivist. And I got sober in the same group as Lyle did, in San Francisco, and they believed if you had one day of sobriety, you could help somebody with 8 hours. And they got us into service. This teleservice ran into our meeting, and I went on my first service call, because there weren't very many women in that meeting. That's why I liked it. But I think it was the third week, I went on my first service call, and this guy had called from New York. His wife was locked in the Fairmont with her minibar, and he wanted us to do something about that. So Barbara and I went, and we did. She let us in, and she passed out, and so we made a plan. We were going to take her, get her on the plane the next morning home. And but we had to stay all night, so we ate a lot of stuff out of the minibar. And we got on the plane, went home. I went back to my home group, and I accidentally told them we'd done that. And so they called the man. They had his number. They called him. They asked him how much the bill was for the minibar. And then the group paid it, and then we had to pay it back. So I learned that, you know. Then my next commitment, I was a greeter, and I think I lasted 2 weeks in that, and they told me I wasn't ready for prime time, and they put me in the kitchen washing dishes. I finally made it to secretary, and I got fired for that too in 2 weeks because I wouldn't sign court cards. But here I am now, and I almost got fired from this. But anyways, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi there, Ryan Alcoholic from Area 93. I am the GSR for my meeting. There are significantly more people in this room than at my home group, so that's slightly intimidating. But talking about making service work attractive, like, if you would have asked me at the beginning of my, I have 2.5 years. If you would have asked me when I got sober that I would volunteer to go to Alaska for a weekend, I would have laughed at you so hard. I probably would have laughed till I cried, because I'm from Southern California, so cold and me don't mix. But if you would have asked me if I'd be down to go to a room full of people who think like you and move like you and talk like you and actually can understand you, that would be a little more enticing. Like, for me, what's attractive about being in service is how honest people are. Like, I didn't really realize I'd be coming to a panel of workaholic alcoholics to talk about how they got through it too, but I think it's pretty rad, because that's exactly where I fit into this whole mold. And I think it's important that we can take what we learn here in this literal room of Alcoholics Anonymous to our individual rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and be honest about what we do in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous to other people, because we don't know what other workaholic alcoholics don't know where their niche is or where they might fit in, because maybe it's at the Wacky Paws or the fundraising events or whatever the heck, or maybe it's here talking about how you can survive being a workaholic and make it used for the forces of good instead of kind of being frowned upon by some other people. So thank you for everyone being in here, and thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Buenas noches, mi nombre es Brigitte.
Good evening. My name is Bridget, and I'm an alcoholic.
Bridget.
Solo quería aportar.
She is from Area 69, Utah.
Que es mi primera vez en Praza.
My first time in Praza.
Y mi primera vez en el servicio de RCG.
And my first time as a GSR.
No es nada fácil.
It's not easy.
Porque el grupo es nuevo.
Because my home group is new.
Es fácil abrirlo.
It's easy to open it.
Difícil mantenerlo.
It's difficult to maintain.
Hay días que quiero tirar la toalla.
Really? Oh, there's sometimes I want to give up.
Pero venir acá me ha motivado mucho.
But being here, coming here, it really motivated a lot.
Y recordar el propósito de AA.
And remember, what is it I'm here for?
Estar aquí es para mí muy gratificante.
Being here is very grateful.
Nunca he estado rodeada de tanta gente.
I had never been around so many people.
Llenos de sabiduría y conocimiento.
With a lot of knowledge and very smart people on here.
Creo que no estoy haciendo bien el papel de RCG.
I feel I'm not doing the GSR the proper way.
Pero ustedes me están enseñando y yo sigo aprendiendo.
But you're teaching me and I'm still learning.
Y el estar aquí una vez más, repito,
being here again,
me ha quitado muchos temores.
I lost a lot of temores,
inseguridades,
insecurities.
Me ha regalado valores.
You guys gave me a lot of values.
Y me ha quitado dudas de mi cabeza.
And I don't have so many doubts in my head.
Porque muchas veces no hago nada por mi recuperación.
Sometimes I don't do enough for my recovery.
Y hoy recordé que yo soy alcohólica.
And today I remembered I'm an alcoholic.
Y que la voluntad de Dios es que yo siga sirviendo.
And that God will is for me to be served.
¿Y qué gano con esto?
And what do I gain by this?
Mi bienestar.
My good feeling.
Y el futuro de los drogadictos y alcohólicos que siguen sufriendo en las calles.
And the future of all the alcoholics and drug addicts who still suffer on the streets.
Gracias.
Thank you.
My name is Tom A., and I am an alcoholic. I had the privilege of serving as Delegate Panel 70 in the California Northern Interior Area 7, serving on the Finance Committee. My home group is the High Flyers Group in Cameron Park, California. I have a sobriety date of May 17, 2007, and it is a joy to be here. And I want to thank the presenters for all of their hard work. You know, I love hearing about service on the panels. You know, you go anywhere else and you're talking about service, you're crickets. There's nobody in the stands. You know, I mean, we've been to panels where there's more people on the panel than in the audience when you're talking about service. Valuable information that's given out, you know, for, you know, a bunch of different reasons. You know, how do I stay balanced? You know, I'm busy. How do I deal with that? And the importance of it. And all of that is great information that we need to be able to put into words. You know, and sometimes I can't put that into words, so it's nice to hear somebody else say it. And I can write it down and memorize it and talk to a sponsee. But speaking of sponsees, you know, when the sponsee first comes in, you know, we don't go out to a bar and pull them in and say, okay, you need this, you know. But for some reason, we think we can do that with service. You know, we're going to drag them into a meeting and say, we need to do this. And it's like, I have no intention of doing that. And that used to be my theory of getting people into service. But I think it's more important to look for those that are willing or at least curious. And then we're gonna fertilize that plant, you know, and get that thing to grow. And just minor things, you know, would you be interested in looking at this or whatever? And if they are interested, help them along, help them with things. And if they have questions about being too busy or how do I balance this and what is the importance of this position, now we're armed with that and we can help them grow. And I think as those that have been here for a while, that is our responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. So, in the interest of time, and also to not have those standing who possibly will not have a chance to get to the podium, this panel ends at 8:15. And we need 1 or 2 minutes at the end for wrap-up. So, starting here, and then going here and here, we are not going to have time to get past two persons standing. So if you're not the first two at all three of our mics, we're not likely to get to you this evening. However, there will be other opportunities. We still have a day and a half to go. So,
hi, Patricia Alcoholic, District 37, Area 7. My home group is the bilingual group in Stockton. This panel really hit me at a personal level. It's funny because I thought that PRASA was all about, you know, figuring out the practical stuff, you know, like being able, you know, I texted the treasurer of my group, like, do we do this of my district? But it's like, you know, talking about the balance. My husband says sometimes to me, how come you can't be as nice to me as you are to the people, you know, in the rooms?
And then I say something like, well, you know, I don't live with them, but, you know, it's kind of like, but actually, when I think about this, and this is humbling to say to this group, is that my ex-husband would say the same thing, you know? So it's like, you know, when we, one of the panelists was talking about as far as looking at, you know, what your recovery looks like. And it's easy for me. I mean, my experience in general service has been that everybody is so nice, you know? And so, of course, I want to be around nice people. You know, I want to be useful. I want to be, you know, I love it. But the work, you know, there is work to be done still. And at my home. And even at a personal level, yeah, this has really been an eye-opener for me. And so I think that I will be looking at that. Anyways, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Yolanda.
Good evening. My name is Yolanda. I'm an alcoholic.
Vengo del distrito 17, área 06.
I'm from District 17, Area 6, Northern Coastal.
Yo le doy las gracias por este evento. Me llamó mucho la atención.
I would like to thank you for having this event. And something that caught my eye.
El compartimiento de todos los delegados.
The sharing of all the delegates.
Pero me identifiqué con una persona que acaba de compartirnos.
But I sort of like identify myself with a person that just shared.
Porque yo también me siento que es un trabajo muy abrumado. Me siento a veces muy abrumada.
I feel that sometimes service is overwhelming.
Pero ella en su compartimiento me dio la pauta a seguir.
But with his sharing, he gave me an idea.
Que fue... practicar tercer paso, segunda tradición, sexto paso y séptimo paso.
Despacito. Otra. To practice my third step.
Tercer paso, segunda tradición.
The second tradition.
Sexto paso y séptimo paso.
The sixth and seventh step.
En una palabra es poner mi vida y mi voluntad en las manos de mi poder superior.
In other words, put my hands and my will on God's hand, God.
Y estar dispuesta a hacer el servicio. Gracias.
And be willing to do the service. Thank you.
Gracias. My name is Lou, and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. Area 9 treasurer, accounts payable. Thank you. Excellent panel. And... action is the magic word, and I find that at a lot of district meetings and area meetings, there's meetings about meetings, and there's reports, and there's approving minutes, and there's a lot of talk about what the officers did and where they went, and what's enjoyable about service is when we do stuff like put on a workshop and put on a convention or whatever. And sometimes our meetings are 70% reports and approving minutes and talking about that kind of stuff, and 30% what are we doing? What did this committee do? What did that committee do? And it should be the reverse. If you're a DCM or an area chair, in my opinion, your meeting should be 30% like procedural, which is important stuff, but it should be 70%. Here's what they just did, and here's what we want to do, and let's put together a little committee to plan this and do that. Now you're sparking everybody's imagination. Now the newcomer who's sitting in that meeting is like, oh yeah, I get that. That sounds good. I want to do that, instead of listening to a lot of procedural stuff. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Big. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I currently serve as the Area 42 GSR Northern Servant, and I'm also serving as a District 6 Alternate DCM. First off, I want to thank Area 2 for hosting this. It's been an amazing process thus far. I arrived at noon this morning, and I appreciate you. And I appreciate the panel today doing their presentations. It gripped me, and I really appreciate your guys' presentations tonight. So the topic was finding balance in your personal life and service responsibilities, and I didn't always come in here. When I first arrived in Alcoholics Anonymous, all I really wanted to do was quit puking on your shoes, possibly quit puking on mine. I had cirrhosis of the liver, kidney failure, and a heart doctor told me I didn't have 6 months to live. That's after being here for 8 years, okay? In those first 8 years, we just drove around and talked about our problems and wrote a few of them down on some scratch papers, okay? But after having to have that spiritual awakening that's available in Alcoholics Anonymous, something else came alive. And those were the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. Something Bill wrote. Bill was thinking about us back when he wrote us. He was thinking about everybody in this room. I doubt anybody is old enough to been born then. Or maybe they are, maybe they're not, but not many of us. And so that gives me the responsibility to think about somebody else today, that balance that we're talking about. And believe me, I'd love to have it. But the big book tells me today that as an ex-problem drinker, my constant thought must be about somebody else. Constant thought. And to me, when I started with constant thought of others, that's not how I got here. And it certainly doesn't sound balanced to me. But what I find is a fellowship around me that's building, and what I came from is dying one miserable day at a time with cirrhosis, liver, kidney failure, and a heart doctor telling me I'm not going to live anymore. And today I get to think about you before me. Thank you.
Yo soy Luis, soy un alcohólico. Buenas noches a todos, antes que nada.
Good evening, my name is Luis, I'm an alcoholic.
Y yo vengo del área 72, del distrito 58.
District 58, Area 72, Washington.
Y yo he encontrado un poco de balance en mí desde que empecé a conocer de los servicios.
I have found a little bit of balance since I found out about the services.
Sí, yo fui una de las personas que estuvo como 15 años en Alcohólicos Anónimos sin saber qué hacer.
I was one of those individuals who were in 15 years in AA and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
No sabía nada de servicios hasta
apenas
2 años atrás que se abrió el Distrito 58.
Yes, 2 years ago, District 58 in Washington opened up.
Y empecé a vivir los servicios y desde ese momento empecé a sentir un balance desde mi trabajo hasta en mi casa.
I started feeling this balance all over in my job, in my life.
Y pues allí luego en la casa pues se ve la diferencia desde que empieza uno a hablar. Allí notan que está sucediendo el cambio.
I can see that change in my life, in my house, the difference of my person.
Desde ahí para acá he encontrado bastantes relaciones amistosas aquí en Alcohólicos Anónimos.
Since then, I have found a lot of beautiful and nice relations in AA.
He aprendido a hablar diferente, ya no
I have learned to speak in AA.
Diferente de como hablaba pues ahí nada más en el grupo, o sea, los servicios me están ayudando a cambiar esa forma de dirigirme a las personas.
Different than the way I was before in the group, I have learned through service how to communicate better.
Entonces pues yo allí es donde noto mi balance, que es del tema del que se está hablando. Me ha servido meterme al servicio.
That's why I noticed the change that we in service to experience.
Sería todo. Buenas noches.
That would be all. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alicia, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Alicia.
And I'm shaking in my boots right now. thank you to the panel for all your shares. Area 9, District 10.
Woo! all right, God, what do you want me to say? Okay, I have a sobriety date of April 15th, 2006. I also suffer from anxiety and depression, and I just want to share a quick story about my district. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was going through a depression, and it was hard for me to serve at that time, but nobody in the district was able to step up and take the DCMC position. So I decided to stay, even though I didn't know if I could, you know, do it. But I knew that maybe that's why God wanted me to stay, so I did. And at this point now, I'm doing much better. And, you know, I'm still sober. And our district is thriving. And, you know, I didn't take on more than I could do. I just did what I could do. And, you know, I'm so glad that somebody didn't take that position, because I think I needed it, you know, for that time. So thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
We are out of time for those that wanted to share but didn't get an opportunity. There is What's on Your Mind session on Sunday morning at the 7 a.m. Also, please be sure to put your questions in the delegate ask it basket throughout the weekend, so there are plenty of questions at the 11 a.m. on Sunday. The ask it basket will be available until 8:45 a.m. on Sunday. A reminder that panel audio recordings can be purchased with the vendor, Smile God Loves You Media Services. You can purchase a recording on a thumb drive, a link to an MP3, or a CD outside this room at the Smile God Loves You table. Please join me in thanking the presenters. Hold your applause, please. And start to clap when I do. Our presenters, if you will stand. Patty S., Claudia N., Thad N., Lyle C., and our timer, Heather N., and our reader, Duncan L.
All right.
Thank you. We'll now have announcements from our chair.